morning, we bring to a close our Rooted in Christ series that we've been working through for a number of months as we studied the book of Colossians, an amazing book, and we've reflected on what it means to be rooted in the gospel, to be rooted in Christ himself, to be rooted in discipleship as we see here. We worked through different aspects of that. We studied the gospel. We studied its implications for our lives. It's been an amazing journey through the book of Colossians. And towards the end of the study, the last few weeks, we shifted to this book called Philemon. It's a very brief letter tucked away in the shadow of Hebrews in your New Testament. And it's a study that, it's a letter that sort of serves as a bit of an exclamation point of sorts on the end of Colossians, because the letter itself of Philemon demonstrates or gives us an example of what it's like to be rooted in Christ and to live out the gospel in our daily lives. It's a very cool little scenario for us from related to the life of a member of the Colossian church of what it means to live for God's glory in this world, what it means to be rooted in Christ and to reflect that in your daily life. And that is the person of Philemon. Now, you remember, as Pastor Bill's taught us over these weeks, Philemon was a wealthy man who lived in the city of Colossae. In fact, the church of Colossae met in his house, which meant it was likely a large house. He was a wealthy man and a solid member and leader in that church at Colossae. And the story, or the purpose of the letter, was that one of Philemon's slaves, that is Onesimus, had run away. And he had stolen some money, had left Philemon, and he had encountered the Apostle Paul in Rome. And through that encounter and some series of events that we really don't have much detail about, Onesimus came to faith in Christ, as Paul had a chance to lead him to faith. And then we get this letter, as then Paul discovered who Onesimus was, that he was a slave of Philemon, his good friend from Colossae, and he sent Philemon home. He said, look, you got to go back. You got to go back, and you have to make this right. And he sent him back to Philemon together with this letter that we call Philemon, that was written by Paul's hand to Philemon to say, look, receive your servant Onesimus well as he returns to you. Now, in the last week, Pastor Bill covered in this book Paul's appeal, which is sort of the meat of the text. And this is what Paul wrote for, to appeal to Philemon that he would receive Onesimus back as his, no longer as his slave as he had him previously, but now, rather, as his brother in Christ, which is a very different place. And so that was Paul's appeal to Philemon. And we get that listed really verses 8 down through verse 20, where Paul appeals to him. In fact, verse 17 says, so if you consider me your partner, that is your partner in the ministry, receive him as you would receive me. Paul's appeal to Philemon. But today we shift as we kind of close this book and we put a cap on the end of our Rooted in Christ series, and upon this letter to Philemon, we consider Philemon's response to Paul's request. Now, we don't know exactly how Philemon responded. There isn't any recorded history. There's nothing in the New Testament that tells us exactly how Philemon responded to Paul's request. There's nothing in historical documents that tell us anything about that. There are a couple of Onesimuses that show up in the first and second century and in other contexts, but none that really fit the timeline that would be in line with this particular book. So really, we don't know. Did Philemon receive Paul's request well and accept Onesimus back now as a brother? Or did he reject Paul's request and refused to receive Onesimus? Now, but we do have a bit of a hint, and that is the fact that this book is included in the New Testament. In all likelihood, if Philemon would have rejected Paul's request, Paul being an apostle and speaking to him with an apostolic authority, then it wouldn't have gone very well within the Colossian church. You know, now, Paul, we know, as we've studied previously, Paul wrote this letter and requested it be read to the entire church. So the church knew the situation. They knew the circumstances. And if Philemon would have refused to accept Paul's request, then it would have created quite a ripple in the Colossian church, and likely this letter would have never surfaced in our New Testaments as a part of the canon of Scripture. So in all likelihood, Philemon responded amazingly well, which is encouraging and a great example to us of what it means to be rooted in Christ. So today as we consider, we can't really look to exactly what Philemon's response was, but we can look to what Paul's confidence was concerning Philemon's response. Because Paul had a certain confidence about how Philemon would respond. In fact, look at verse 21, which is where we're going to close the book. He says this, confident of your obedience, or since I am confident of your obedience, I write to you, knowing that you will do even more than I say. At the same time, prepare a guest room for me, for I am hoping that through your prayers, I will be graciously given to you. Epaphras, my fellow prisoner in Christ Jesus, sends you greetings. And so do Mark and Aristarchus, Demas and Luke, my fellow workers. And then he closes the book with this, the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. So we don't have Philemon's response, but we do have what was Paul's confidence concerning Philemon's response. Now, we have a similar concept. We use this concept all the time in our culture, right? We have confidence in people, confidence in how they will respond. We see this in our marriages. You've been married, like me, almost 19 years. You're fairly confident about how your spouse is going to respond, right? I mean, I know if Cindy comes out of the closet and we're going out on a date, And I look at her and say, you're going to wear that? I know I'm confident in the response that I'm going to get. Right? I mean, we're confident about these. We're confident in our leaders. Why? Because we've experienced their leadership. And we have a track record about how this leader leads. And so therefore, we have a confidence that they will lead us well. Or, in some cases, not so well, right? So we have a confidence in them. We have confidence in our bosses, right? In our employers, because we've had experience. We've seen the way that things operate in our offices, in our workplaces, wherever it is, and we have a confidence in the way they're going to lead things. We even have in our culture, in certain contexts, a vote of no confidence, right? Where we have a leader and we look around and say, in a certain context, you know, we just have no more, we no longer have confidence in this leader's ability to lead us well. And so we lack that. And so we choose not to follow this person anymore. So Paul had the same kind of confidence in Philemon. And that term, confidence in the Greek, is patho, which means to be persuaded or convinced that something is true. Either because of knowledge, in this case Paul's personal knowledge of who Philemon was, or because of evidence or experience or something like that. That's where Paul's confidence came from. He was certain about how Philemon would respond because he had seen Philemon's life and he understood the kind of person he was. Now, Paul was confident about all kinds of things, and we see this term, pathos, show up throughout the New Testament often, and demonstrating or explaining Paul's confidence or his surety about certain things. Paul was confident that God would work in the lives of the Philippian believers in Philippians chapter 1, verse 6, where he says, I am sure that he who began a good work in you will bring it to completion. That word sure there is this term patha. You know, I have this certainty. Why? Because he knew who God was. He knew God would continue this work. He was confident that the Galatians would return to the true gospel. If you remember, the Galatian church had drifted into falsehood, following after legalism. And Paul said, look, I'm certain that you will return again to the gospel which I preached to you originally. And he was confident the Corinthian church would clean up the mess in their church Because there was strife and division and all kinds of issues going on in the Corinthian church. And Paul says, I'm confident that you will repent and return to walking in righteousness, to walking according to the truth. And he was confident in Timothy, who was his son in the faith. And he was confident in Timothy because of the sincere faith that he saw in Timothy's life, that was also in the life of his grandmother and his mother before him. And that's why Timothy was the pastor of Ephesus, which was the predominant influential church in all of Asia. So Paul was confident in Timothy. He was confident in this, and that nothing can separate us from the love of God. And I just love this verse. I just want to read it as we reflect on the things that that Paul had as certainty. He said, for I am sure, there's our term, Romans 8, that neither death nor life, nor angels nor rulers, nor things present nor things to come, nor powers nor height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus. What a great thing to be sure of. Amen. So he was certain about that. And then he was certain or confident in our access that we have to God through Christ, which he wrote in the book of Ephesians. And finally, he was confident in Philemon. He was confident in Philemon. He was certain about how Philemon would respond because he had seen the track record that Philemon had as he lived his life in the Colossian church. In fact, you